Paschakti nishvito jivo brahmandam cha jatatmakam. Jatatmakam. God is one. God has many transcendental powers. The individual spirit souls and the material worlds are all manifested God's powers. Now, what was this taking? What were we going back from? Okay, so now we're in the section on the second section. Now we're talking about the purified souls. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, now I was wondering, says, how did we get to this? Because I was connecting it with the Shiksha Rita.
Oh.
Okay. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda. In the Vedic literature, it is said, "Ekam eva dvitiyam." There is only one God; He has no rival. Neha nanasti kinchana. Nothing is separate from God. Savishva krid vishvavit. God created the world. He knows all that happens in the world. Pradhana kshetra patir gunesha. God is the master of the world. He is the master of the modes of material nature. Eko devo bhagavan varenya. There is only one God. He is the best of persons. He has all opulences. The interesting thing, I was in a Dubai airport, just sitting there. And, you know, one younger man, you know, full on practicing Muslim came up. We started discussing, you know, because he had on his robes and I had one on. No, did I have on? Yeah, I think I had it because I was passing through, transiting. So he came over and sat down and we started talking. And I just said these things, like that, just straight Vedanta philosophy. You know, God is one, this, that. And he was in ecstasy, you know, like that. We didn't talk rituals. We didn't talk anything. If anything came up, we talked about the principle of it. You know, respecting God, you know, all these different things like that. And we talked for quite a while, 20 minutes, half an hour. It was just straight Vedanta. And so it works. You know, it's just when you drop down into the ritual, that's when fireworks start at that point. It's good. By these words, God's eternal existence is clearly confirmed. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11, it is said, Vranti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call the non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Right? So here the point is non-dual. So when we're talking about Brahman, we're talking about Brahman as part of Krishna. You know, it's non-different from Krishna. Or Paramatma is non-different. So for the Vaishnavas, when we discuss the Brahman understanding, Brahman platform, it means in relationship to developing our relationship with Bhagavan. Like that. So we don't have any problem in discussing part of Brahman. Bhagavan, the Supreme Person, is superior to Brahman, the impersonal divine effulgence, and Paramatma, the all-pervading supersoul. Still, one should not think that Brahman Paramatma are two separate gods, and Bhagavan is the supreme god that dominates them. Right? So this idea of this coming of this trilogy element, then they want to make a non-difference, but the point is there's a difference, but that's on the platform of God himself. He has those aspects. But the difficulty comes is that then you also have the jivas, and you have the Lord's associates. So when you leave all those elements out, then you get difficulty. Then they'll be trying to apply this principle to everything. So in other words, if everything's Brahman, then it's God in the same way as Bhagavan is. No, it's Brahman in the way Brahman is, and that is the transcendental Brahman is being manifest in the external energy Brahman. Right, so we're picking up on the Supreme Lord Brahman, not on the external energy Brahman. The external energy is the form that we see, but actually the potency that we're attracted to is the Supreme Lord. But we can see the difference in the aspects of Brahman, but at the same time as we can understand that oneness. So when people can't catch that, then they'll spend, you know, 2,000 years trying to define transcendental, like that. Here the individual spirit soul is the seer and Bhagavan is the object seen. Right. When he first begins his spiritual life and he travels on the path of philosophical speculation, Jnanamarg, the soul sees the Brahman feature of Bhagavan. When he makes some advancement on the path, the soul begins to walk on the path of yoga, yoga marg. When he walks on that path, the soul sees the Paramatma feature of Bhagavan. When by good fortune the soul walks on the path of pure devotional service, Shuddha Bhakti Marg, the soul sees Bhagavan directly. Bhagavan brings great sweetness to the eyes. He is full of transcendental bliss, right? So we have both the element that we're walking on this path, but that's being the goal being Shuddha Bhakti. Therefore, these other aspects that one's walking on are considered as good as. Right? That's the meaning of that, the word iti. It's explained by Baladev in the verse by Rupa Goswami on pure devotion. The iti means, and all those in support of. Right? That makes sense. So then, in other words, you'll see Krishna directly as a person, at the same time as we're seeing everything in relationship to that person. But we may be seeing it in connection to Brahman or Paramatma. You know, oh, I should do this because the rule is like that. If you don't do this, then it'll be bad. But why? If it's just the rule, that's Paramatma. If I don't go to Mangalartik and Krishna is there waiting for the devotees to come and I don't come, Krishna will feel bad that I'm not there. You know, that's the Bhagavan. But generally, as you go to Mangalartik, if you don't go to Mangalartik, you know, then this and that, or, you know, at best, the Neo Prophet said. So then the difficulty comes is that we're not actually looking at it from the Bhagavan platform. We're going to see Bhagavan, but we're looking, the reason we're there is from the Paramatma platform. Right? Or we're just looking at it's good, it's a nice thing, you know, it's a religious thing, then it's kind of in between. Paramatma and Brahman. You know what I'm saying? If it's, well, you know, because if you do a situation in the mode of goodness like that, then you just see Brahman. So when we give an explanation like why we go to Mangalarti, we use all of them. You know, it's the Brahma Muhurta, the best time of the day, spiritual realization, this, that, blah. So just that experience, that's Brahman. That's the rule, that's Paramatma. Why it's done at that time, that's because that's Krishna gets up at that time. And that the Mangalartik, we're thinking it's a this or that. The Mangalartik is actually being performed by the gopis, you know, out with Radha and Krishna. For us, that's where the Mangalartik's going on. Because when he comes home, Mother Yashoda doesn't do an artik when he gets up. She wakes him up, you know, brushes teeth, this, that, hands, feet. Then he'll go and milk the cows and take care of those things. Then he'll come back, have his bath, get dressed, and have breakfast. There was no Mangalarti. Right? In Vaikuntha, then when they wake him up and they do also the washing the hands, mouth, and feet, then they do the arti. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, the form we're using in Pancharatra works in all the realms. So that means it also has to be in line with the Vaikuntha. But in Vaikuntha, there the Lord gets up early, all the devotees are there, they do the arti. But in Vrindavan, the Lord gets up early, but the only ones that see that are the gopis. You know, so it does have that extra element. He is full of transcendental bliss. He is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss. His form is graceful. He is very handsome and charming person. He has all opulence, all power, all fame, all handsomeness, all knowledge, and all renunciation. He has them in the best, the most sublime way. Brahman and Paramatma are both hidden within Bhagavan. Bhagavan has all potencies. By his wish, his potencies manifest as regular and occasional pastimes. Because there's ones that are always going on, and then there's ones that occasionally happen to give flavor to the regular ones. He is supremely independent. He is the author of all rules and regulations. Like it's one of the 64 qualities of Krishna, that he follows the Shastra, the rules of the Shastra, because he is the one who is the author of that. Right? In other words, if you have something you like to do, like every evening you like to, let's say, come and sit in your living room, on the couch and look out the window, you know, over the valley and over the lights. So then that's what you write down. So in the evening, then, you know, that's what happens. So then we'll go, oh, so many rules. Why do we have to follow these rules? I'd rather stay in my room and play video games. No, because the point is you want to develop a relationship with God. That's what God likes to do. The rules are there because that's what God does. You know, it means we get bent out of shape. Why do we have to? It means, you know, we're there. Why do I have to wash my feet? You know, I didn't like, you know, pour Dawl all over my feet or stuff like that. But God washes his feet. It's in the song. You know, we sing it every day at the Bogarty. He does that. He likes to do that. So that's why we do it. You know, you can give all kinds of other, you know, tantric and Ayurvedic and all kinds of reasons and this and that. But the point is the reason the rule is there is because God likes to do that. Mm-hmm. He likes to sit in lines and eat. He likes to, someone serves. He likes all that. So that's why we do it. Right? And so, and what's the end result? You know, that down the line, then we have, you know, how you say? Buffet out of old ghee buckets with soup ladles, you know, for everything, you know, while no one's there, while we are in the little cafeteria area with benches and chairs with our shoes on. Did I miss something? Right. Oh, and we eat with a plastic spoon.
And TV.
TV also. Yeah, also the microwave.
You missed the styrofoam plates.
The styrofoam plates, yes. The styrofoam plates. Yeah. Okay. Excuse me. Okay. So that's the thing. He is the author of all the rules and regulations, right?
That quality is called dharmic in the book you were talking about.
It's called dharmic. Yeah. It means, yeah, he follows rules. Yeah. Like that. Still, he is never bound by any rules or regulations, because the point is the rules and regulations are just what he does. He doesn't have to follow them. He's doing because he likes to follow them. So that's the point of Rag Marg, is that it's not that it's not rules. It's that you like following the rules. That's the difference. Vaidhi you're doing because you have to and that you'll get a result from it. Rag you're doing because you like it. That's the difference. Not that it's, oh no, you're reading about the gopis. That makes it Rag. That has nothing to do with it. But it means the cowherd boys can also be in Rag Marg. So its point is not about that. That's an aspect of learning the mood of that particular devotee. But that's already when Rag is there. You don't have Rag, how do you then follow in the footsteps? Mm-hmm. Right? Because we saw as the first thing in Shravana Dasa is learning the attitude. Then you can start learning the social situation and who does what, and then follow in the footsteps of somebody specific. But the attitude of Rag is already there in the first stage. Then you get to these, we start off with Rag as defined as I read about the, you know, specific devotee and then contemplate. That's the third stage. The first stage is just adjusting with the mood that, you know, they have in Vrindavan. Everybody's a servant. Everybody's spontaneously serving Krishna. Everybody's cooperating together. Right? Aren't these things Prabhupada talked about? You know, your love for him will be shown by how you cooperate. That's what they do in Vrindavan. That's what they do in the spiritual world. Right? Everybody's a servant. Everybody, and it's not, oh, about gopis, this, that. It's all about being a servant, cooperating. You know, keeping Krishna as the center. That's what makes Vrindavan. All the realms in Vaikuntha do that. Vrindavan does it in the most intense way. To the point where it's all about Krishna and pleasing Krishna and cooperating together to serve Krishna, that they don't even sometimes remember the rules. But the point is it's the attitude that you're applying within the form of the rules. Otherwise, what form do you use?
And the attitude is in relation to culture.
Yeah, I mean, the culture is the art of applying the philosophy. Right? Because the philosophy has to be, how do you apply humility? Right? So then the culture of that is by in the performance of your prescribed duties, the difficulties that come up on the way of the body, the mind, and the senses, so the intellect, you tolerate that. Right? That's where you know that I'm not the doer, I'm only the servant. I'm an instrument. Right? Does that make sense? That's humility. Does that make sense? So that means humility is the symptom of actual knowledge. Right? So if someone has knowledge and not humble, then they don't have real knowledge. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you go out and lay down in front of the door, you know, as the foot mat for the devotees. You know, it's nice sentiment, but that's a made-up, created thing. You know what I'm saying? So it's some fun, but it's not the act. So the point is that when your duties are being performed, that you're able to go through them and not become proud or not become disheartened. You know, that's where it's applied. So then, yeah. That, yeah, that makes sense. Therefore, one can be very bold. You can, oh, so many emotional kind of moods can be there, and one can still be humble. Like that. Okay, so then we'll end here. After 1.5 pages.
We got through
1.5 pages. Yeah, see. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki.
Jai.
Ganitai Gaur Premanati.